Welcome to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by Indiana University's Asian Culture Center in collaboration with WFHB. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie Castillo-Colother.
And my name is Andy Pace. And Melanie and I are excited for you all to meet a couple of AAPI women warriors who are here to discuss Women's History Month. And our guests have made very positive impacts on the community, as well as the Hoosier State altogether through their service, activism, and leadership.
Time flies so fast, Andy. It's already March. I can't believe it. And as you all know, March is Women's History Month. And did you know that Women's History Month began as a week-long celebration in 1981?
No, I didn't. That's interesting.
Yeah, it started just a week, and then over time and through many resolutions in the Congress and petition from the Women's History Project and a series of presidential proclamations, the week-long celebration became a month. So ever since 1995, the U.S. has been observing women's history as, you know, a month, not anymore a week long, and celebrating the contributions that women have made over the course of American history. I'm very happy to have with us two lovely women, very active in their communities, and both active leaders of the local chapter of the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum, Catherine Chi and Michelle Dahl.
Catherine Chi is the Director of Communications at Kiwanis International, where she focuses on promoting the organization's brand and message to its global audience. She got involved in politics in 2016 when she served as Lieutenant Governor candidate Christina Hale's campaign manager, working on everything from fundraising to voter outreach. And in 2020, she served as Christina Hale's congressional campaign advisor. So Catherine continues to stay active in civic engagement. She's currently a member of the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum and Indiana Democratic Party 5th Congressional District Secretary. She also serves on the City of Indianapolis's Board of Business and Neighborhood Services. Catherine is a new mom and lives with her 5-month-old son and her husband in Indianapolis, and she enjoys reading, taking walks in her neighborhood, and mushroom hunting with her mother.
I love that our guests for today are all both really hardworking moms, and the next one that I'm going to introduce to you all is Michelle Dahl, and Michelle is a lifelong resident of Franklin. She is a Korean adoptee, and Michelle is also a mother of 5. Michelle founded Little Pantry, Michelle's Little Pantry, in February 2017. And the mission of the pantry is to provide 24-hour food access to food insecure neighbors in temporary or emergency situations. There are 2 Johnson County locations, Franklin and Greenwood. It became evident very quickly that feeding people is just one aspect of the systemic issues that intersect. And we should learn more about Michelle's Little Pantry in a little while here. But I just want you all to know that Michelle is a very active member of the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum and has participated in our RJLI, the Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute. Oh, it's a mouthful. And she loves food and cooking, and she and her partner enjoy kid-free date nights as often as possible. Same here. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Catherine. How are you both?
Hi, doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So Catherine and Michelle, thank you again for joining us today. And, you know, as Melanie talked about, you know, it's March and we are celebrating Women's History Month. And so to kick off this conversation, we were wondering, so what does Women's History Month mean to you?
It means a lot for me because there's so many women who has come before me, who has done so much to fight for our rights. And I feel like I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now without them. And specifically as a Chinese American woman, I learned about a couple women a few years ago that I'm like, I'm so glad that they had the courage to do what they did. And one of them being Anna Mae Wong, Chinese American actress from the 20s and up to the 40s, I believe. And I believe this year she's going to be on a quarter. So I'm excited so many other people are going to learn more about her. But, you know, we always talk about how there's not enough representation of Asian Americans in the media. And I'm just, you know, I know a lot of, it's a lot better in the past few years, still not enough, but it's a lot better. And I know a lot of the actress out there speak a lot about her and how she was really a trailblazer from way back when. And then the other person for me, Mabel Pinghua Lee, who is who campaigned for women's suffrage, even though, you know, after all the work that she had done, she still was not able to vote because, you know, of her heritage. But just knowing that she was out there fighting, you know, back in the days, just is so inspiring to me.
Well, I will piggyback off of Catherine, and kudos to everything that you said. For me, Women's History Month is important because my preferred pronouns are she, they. And so when we're talking about, you know, racism or, you know, women's equity and justice and everything, of course, we have to think about power and power structures. And so when we're talking about women's history or anything to do with AAPI stuff, it has to do with power is like the biggest aspect of it. And giving highlight to women in, throughout history is so important, talking about representation. And it's great that we have it because we need it to highlight that, but it becomes evident that we have so much further to go and so much more work to do. That's why it's important to me to have it.
Thank you both, Catherine and Michelle. I really like that you've touched on the key aspects of the significance of Women's History Month. And it's always good to be aware of the importance of representation and building power to improve women's lives. Speaking of improving people's lives, Michelle, could you tell us more about the food pantry that you are running?
There was definitely things circulating out on social media about free pantries popping up around the country. And you know, there's things that you see and you say, oh, I could do that. This was something that kept sticking with me and it wouldn't go away. And so there was an election in 2016 and a lot of people were upset and we thought it could be, you know, the worst times ever or whatever, but very divided and upset. People felt hopeless. And so come February, it's cold and dreary. And I just got up one day and said, I'm doing it. I'm putting a pantry outside of my house. And that was it. And I'm kind of a fly by the seat of the pants kind of person. So I just went with it. You know, you do the thing and then ask for forgiveness later. You know, you don't ask. So I just threw it out there and did it. And I made a page and all these followers just really, they just really responded to it in the best way. So that was really what happened. That's how it started. We do have two locations. We moved and their weather. And then I've been having health issues. So the Franklin pantry will be open soon. We just have to get it physically moved. But there is one in Old Town Greenwood. So 24-hour access.
Yeah, I love, Michelle, how you shared that. It's just like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And then I'll just, you know, work out those details later, you know, but like, this is really important given like what's going on. So that's very inspiring. And Catherine, you know, it was really interesting when I was reading like your bio, how you, you know, also got involved around that same time. And so I was wondering like, what inspired you to start your work surrounding activism and later, you know, working in the political field?
Well, I've always been involved one way or another. I remember just, you know, when I was young, you know, being from an immigrant family, my family's always talked about, you know, why we moved to where we did, why we came here. And my family, you know, they'll still talk about politics around the dinner table, and they did since I was young. So I've always thought, okay, this is really important. It really affects, you know, everybody in all these different ways. So somehow in the back of my mind, I just thought, well, I've got to, you know, get involved. And I got, you know, interest in politics. And I went to college. I majored in political science. However, you know, that's really different from the activism. And I honestly, I just got lucky that I met Christina Hale through my job at Kiwanis International. And when she went to run for, it was actually, she was running for re-election for her house district at the time, which is a smaller district in Indianapolis on the northeast side of Indianapolis. And she's like, hey, do you want to come and run my re-election campaign? And I was also kind of job searching at the time. And I said, yes. And that kind of my last day at my last job was the first day that was the day that they announced that she was going to run for lieutenant governor. So I went from like this little district, house district in Indianapolis to a statewide campaign. So that was really interesting. I learned a lot on that campaign, just a lot about, you know, how a lot about Indiana, truthfully. And I loved it, and it made me, you know, love Indiana even more, and also just a lot about how much work it takes to run a campaign and just really understanding like the stamina that it takes. So since 2016, I just, because of, you know, all the issues I learn about and understanding, you know, like, unfortunately, you know, the results was, you know, what we got, I continue to stay involved because it was necessary, and which is how, you know, it kind of evolved into where I am right now.
Can totally agree. Once you're involved and once you are into it and very passionate about what you believe in, there's really no such thing as you turn it off. It's not a 9-to-5 thing. So my question is, did you both face, as you embark in this very engaging community, did you face or experience any pushback, you know, when you made this decision to be involved?
Actually, it's a nice segue from where I ended with the pantry, because, you know, you think about food insecurity and feeding people, and you're like, oh, that's something that can unite us. And it is definitely a force of unification for people. Who doesn't want to feed people? And then with food insecurity, as you mentioned before, you know, there are intersectional issues with transportation and housing. And just starting a food pantry is way different from having conversations about adding public transportation and housing in your community when you find out that a lot of people don't want housing options for people who are, you know, socially disadvantaged or vulnerable. Apparently, there's a thing that they think that their house appraisal, the value of their homes will go down. So that's really frustrating. So, you know, talking about those kind of issues just in that in themselves is challenging to have those conversations. So as a Korean adoptee, you know, that's something that experiences that I've had living here through my work, I have found that there's been, when I talk about, you know, supporting people that some people don't think that should be receiving assistance or anything. You get that kind of pushback, and then it's also almost like a character blow on me. But then when you get the race involved, and I speak on Black Lives Matter or the topic of racism or the experiences I've had in racism, I've lost a lot of supporters actually for my pantry, because when I speak out about racism, then it's hard to have a full conversation on this, because already a defensive atmosphere when I talk about it. And so there's a lot of times people say that I'm racist against white people. So I have lost support for my pantry for food donations because of that. I've received death threats. I've received hate mail. So people think that, they say, just stick to food. You're really good at giving people food, Michelle. And I am. Also, I am a Korean adoptee in a predominantly white community, and it's not something you can just turn off. So it's kind of a balance, because, you know, my kids go to school here, and this is my community. I grew up here. So I've had to kind of find where I work the best in these situations. And having this conversation here in this space, and I actually shared with Catherine the other day, you know, being introduced to AAPI spaces and seeing AAPI people is really comforting, because I know that the work that I'm doing and the experiences that I'm having are shared, and it's not an uphill fight with the work that I'm doing that is good. I don't have to also do the work and then also fight the other things.
I'm very sorry to hear this, Michelle, that you have received death threats and hate emails, and you lost a lot of your supporters and donors over issues that you care about. From what you shared, your work goes beyond providing meals, and you're tackling the root problems of your community, including problems with transportation, housing, and race relations. Sometimes the truth makes people uncomfortable, especially when it forces people to think about their privileged status. I'm glad, though, to hear that you have found spaces like NAPA of Indiana chapter where you feel supported and uplifted.
If I may add, I say this, but it's always the few loud people that seem like they ruin everything. I will say that I believe that we have about 4,800 followers on our Facebook page for Michelle's Little Free Pantry. And so that's where the power is. And that's our community. So even when there are a few people making some noises, there are so many more out there that, you know, do see the mission and do see the big picture. And we do want the same things, and we can reach across the aisle to get the things that need to be done.
That's wonderful. That's good. That's very inspiring. And I'm glad that there's a lot of people out there. 4,800 is pretty good number. And Catherine, did you also have some pushback as you were getting into the political campaigns?
I would say not particularly pushback. I would say two things I thought about is, one, when I first got involved, there wasn't really a ton of AAPIs involved. And this was back in 2016. Like, I would, you know, be in a room full of people, and sometimes I would be the only AAPI person there, at a canvas or at a fundraising event. And compared to now, you know, now I know Michelle, now I know Melanie, like, now, you know, I have found, you know, NAPOF, and there's a lot more AAPIs involved. But back then, I think we were pretty scattered, and there wasn't like a central organization that got us all together. So that's been a really big and positive change in my life. And I think I would say even at the beginning of 2020, when I like started to get really nervous, like start to see all the violence and all the, you know, hate incidents that were directed at AAPIs, I didn't know who to turn to. And NAPOF were the people that I knew would, you know, that I could talk to and kind of figure out what we could do, how we could prepare ourselves for anything that might be happening in Indiana. And then separately, I would also say, I would say one thing that I forgot to mention in my bio was that I was really involved in the Indiana Young Dems between 2017 and 2020. I've aged out at this point. I'm no longer a young Dem, but I still very much so support them. But I served as the vice president of Marion County Young Dems from 2017 to 2019. And that was a group of people that I really relied on. Like, the young people, the young Dems were the people that I could really count on that would support what I wanted to do, and that would, you know, just understand, you know, the fight, and we're there to do the work. And so I was really lucky to have that group at that time. And also, you know, there's like microaggressions that we would face. And, you know, as an AAPI person, and sometimes, you know, I think there's not been enough resources out there for us AAPIs when it comes to microaggression. Like, I'd be like, oh, that was weird. And I would brush it off. I was like, oh, there's no way. And, you know, then, you know, I would sit, you know, talk to another young Dem who is Black, and, you know, she would let me know, you know, here's what this is. It's microaggression. When a white person does this, here's what they mean. She's my fellow Hoosier Women Forward sister. Her name's Ariel Brandy, and she's just been such a good friend to me. She's the president of, currently the president of Indiana Young Dems. And, you know, there's so many things that, you know, we would talk about, and she would just let me know, okay, here's what's actually going on. And I'm so grateful for that, because I didn't know for a long time, because there wasn't enough people that I could go and talk to about these issues up until now with NAPOF. And I finally have a group of women who really get it.
I kind of just want to go off what Catherine was saying, is that we've just been scattered. If we're talking about just locally, you know, we are here, we're just scattered, and we have not had a central, you know, place to organize and, you know, discuss these things. And I think that that would probably be the most important thing that we need to focus on, is the representation, building these relationships, building community. And with that, we can build power. I've used the word power a couple of times throughout this. And there's so many structures in place that I have entered into spaces where I forced myself at the table, and I'm trying to represent just me from my point of view. I can't do it. It's not working. So if I bring Catherine and Melanie and Andy and, you know, all of my friends and sisters from NAPOF, we have a bigger impact. And that is what I am here for.
I'm very inspired. I'm powered up.
Yeah, I'm getting powered up too. I mean, and I appreciate you both talking about like the challenges and the barriers and like how you all, you know, face those, because I feel like, you know, that's that in many cases, you know, that's what people are concerned about when starting to get involved in their communities or with advocacy work or with activism. Going off of that, and I think with what both of you have shared in your experiences, what has remained the most fulfilling aspect of your work, either in your positions or in your community? Like, this could be general themes, or it could be something even very specific.
What's most fulfilling, honestly, for me is when we win elections, because that's when you can make some real change in the state house or in city government. Unfortunately, it's really hard in Indiana. You know, I'm going to be positive and say, you know, even if we don't, you know, we may have moved the needle a little bit, or getting more people involved. And NAPOF reached out to API women specifically to ask, you know, API women all over the state for the first time in history to vote and to register and to vote. And, you know, Melanie, you remember, people were really happy to hear from us. And I just think that's a positive in itself. And then separately, I just got to say, you know, when we win elections, I'll say in 2018, I got to volunteer for Senator J.D. Ford, and, you know, he ended up winning that election. And he's somebody who, you know, when, you know, after the Atlanta shooting, and he's one of the people that we reach out to and ask him to push forward a resolution in to bring more attention to it. So, you know, just to show, like, you know, somebody who is going to support our work, you know, they win. So that's something to me that's really fulfilling. And I think it's really important, which is why I'm very passionate about the work that I do.
I think today is a really interesting time to ask you that, because I've really burnt out. November and December were really rough months for us with the pantry. We were having a lot of problems with a few community members. We actually were receiving threats, so having to do with food. And I know people, but it was very draining for us. We've kind of stepped back. And then, like I said, you know, we don't have the new location here in Franklin. So today, when I talk about what's fulfilling, is it's like kind of like an aha moment that I think I've shared with you, Melanie, personally, and also with Catherine. I want to do everything, and I want to fix everything everywhere. And I found out that I can't do that, and I can say no to things. Even though I can do them, it doesn't mean that I have to do them. And I'm doing a disservice to everyone and myself if I say yes to everything. I know for me, to do the work that's important to me, that's fulfilling and most meaningful, is to focus on AAPI and LGBTQ plus issues. I am most represented there. I feel most seen and heard and safe. And that really helps me know where my North Star is.
That segue, thank you, Michelle. That actually segues to our last but not the least question. And I hate to cut off our conversation. You two need to come back here because there's so many things that we wanted to ask you more. Do you have any advice for young activists? I think you both touch on that when you shared what's fulfilling about your work. But if you have any advice for young activists, what would that be?
I would say find people that support your work so that you can be together. And again, echoing what Michelle's been saying, build power. So I would just, you know, encourage you, you know, if you're a young person, you know, go, there's other, all kinds of organizations out there, you know, NAPOF, if you're an API, I know there's Women for Change that's out there doing good work as well. So there's lots of nonpartisan organizations that you can find. And then I will also just, you know, again, echo what Michelle says, just, you know, watch out and, you know, make sure you don't get burned out, because I got burned out a few times last year. Last year was really hard. You know, it's okay to say no. And one thing I've been telling myself, you know, as a new mom, and I told Michelle this the other day, is, a lot of the other countries out there, I would still be on maternity leave. So I'm just constantly telling myself, it's okay that I can't do everything and I don't have to do everything. And it's okay if I want to reserve that time for myself because I need it, or for my family because they need me.
If I'm going to give any advice to the younger generations, everyone has imposter syndrome, and I just keep telling myself, I always thought I wasn't qualified or I wasn't ready. It depends or not, but we can do whatever we put our minds to and just show up. If you don't like it, leave. If it's not right for you, leave, but just show up. You won't know unless you show up.
Thank you both. Andy, do you want to say anything else?
I just wish that we had more time to talk. I mean, this was just fantastic and inspiring. So overall, thank you, Catherine and Michelle, for coming on the Hereabouts show and speaking about your experiences, about encountering and overcoming challenges, about getting involved in the first place. Many of our listeners are those here at IU or those who recently graduated. I think many of your points and your experiences are really going to hit home for a lot of them. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. Again, we air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more. See you next week.